It's time for the High School Report, covering all the local sports action in the community on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle.
Welcome back. Time for today's High School Report, brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer, proudly supporting the youth of our community. Fellas.
And then there were three.
It was not a good weekend, was it?
I think we kind of all thought, though, this was one of those weekends
the challenges
are going to be there.
Right. And all this, everyone ran into some tough matchups this weekend.
Yeah, they were. And there were some very competitive games. Actually, the Bryan game, it really kind of turned – it ended up turning on a muffed punt, but it really might have turned a little bit earlier than that. Bryan lost 48-28 to George Ranch in a game that was very close in the first half, and they were up 14-6, had an onside kick. And as you and I have talked about on those games all season, the onside kick can be a pretty effective weapon for Bryan. Well, Angel Quiroga kicks the ball, and it went only about 7 yards, but a guy comes up to field the ball, and Bryan just crushes him. I mean, he gets just blastered, and the ball comes loose. Bryan recovers it at the 49-yard line. They're up 14-6, have been moving the ball offensively, and it looks like all the officials agree it's Bryan's football, but the guy from the opposite side of the field runs over and says it's interference, and so he called interference on Bryan. So Bryan not only didn't get the ball, they gave George Ranch a 15-yard penalty, and they
still... you can get called. I'm confused.
It's like calling a fair catch, but he didn't call a fair catch.
Yeah, that's not a thing. There's no such thing as kick catch interference on a kickoff.
Well, apparently there was in that game, and if you want to see and it was not a ball that was kicked. It was actually popped up. So I mean, it was a matter of him trying to catch it. But I thought the same thing.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
But whether it matters or not, here's the thing: he caught it, and then he got hit. Or that's the way it appeared, at least, to just about everybody there. You should see, check out on the Eagles' website and see Ross Rogers' reaction. You'll get an idea of what he thought about it. But, I really think it was a huge turning point in the game because Bryan is moving the ball really well. Now, I don't think there's any doubt George Ranch was going to get going offensively. They did in the game, and they ended up winning it by 20. So you don't know that could have turned the entire game. But Bryan was up 14-6 at the time and would have had the ball back at midfield. And I the more I thought about that, the more I just realized that was just a gigantic play in that game. As it turned out, Bryan muffed a punt deep in their own territory that turned into a touchdown. That was clearly where the game began to turn the other way. But it was a pretty good game for a half, and Bryan played extremely well. Really kind of came out and jumped on him. B.J. Ross moving the football down the field. But I'll say this about George Ranch, and it's been a long time since we saw Temple. I think they'll be a competitive team. I don't think they can beat Temple. I don't think that's the...
No.
But you and I left that game, that Temple game. I'm not sure we thought anybody was going to beat Temple from that point. I didn't.
No, I mean, until they run into one of these other great teams, I forget how the divisions line up, but someone else up there in that echelon of talent, it was certainly going to take a while.
All right, Larry, you saw the two College Station teams, and you started with College Station on Friday night.
Well, College Station was the team that you and I thought out of the three local teams that had probably had the best chance of advancing, and part of that was the fact that they had the higher seed in Division II, and they were playing against Angleton, a team that came in with a 7-5 record. Angleton looked like a lot better than a 7-5 team, from the press box where I was sitting Friday night. The thing that's interesting about that game is Angleton is just kind of old school, David. They played the guy sitting next to me in the press box wanted to call it a wing tee. It wasn't a wing tee, at least not in terms of the wing tee that I saw Jim Slaughter and those guys and Steve Huff, run at A&M Consolidated. But they played almost exclusively two tight ends, sometimes with two backs, sometimes with one back. They didn't have a lot of wing backs, but it was a run, really a run-heavy formation.
Well, they have a wing back. It wasn't a wing tee.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so the guy said it's a wing tee, and they have they had a flanker out there, but it really wasn't a wing. But anyway, it was a run-heavy formation, and then they played really good defense, and that was the thing that was the most surprising about the game to me. If you'd have forced me to pick. With Bryan, College Station, and Consolidated, of course, there is no deciding for me on the prognosticators. You know, I have a simple formula, and I just pick the local guys, and, of course, I went over. But if you were to pick, force me to pick, I would have thought that College Station had the best chance to advance. But I didn't realize that Angleton would be that good defensively. Okay. They played really good defensively. And College Station has been productive and has been good pretty much all year. I mean, they've had they have good talent. They have a nice balance of talent. They got the two Chris's, Chris Monroe, Chris Sinnett in the backfield. Mm-hmm. They have good receivers, and Reese Easterling had a good season, you know, filling in for Ty Brock. But man, as the coach Ryan Roark, the coach from Angleton, told me after the game, he said he just didn't think College Station was used to anybody come up and just stuffing the run.
You're talking about,
that's what they did. And it was a good combination because Angleton also has a stud of a sophomore tailback.
Well, let me ask you about that, because I was listening to Chase, as I was coming home from the Normandy game, I was listening to Chase Murphy calling the game, and it sounded like a lot of those runs were just straight up into the line. It didn't sound like there was a whole lot. Now, maybe I was misreading him and thinking that, because that's kind of the way Bryan attacked College Station in the second half and won that game. So maybe I was reading, you know, what I knew into the game.
Well, what Angleton did particularly well was counter plays and misdirections.
Wow,
so
okay.
it wasn't just like a straight
dive play,
but the 75 yard and the 51 yard touchdown runs by Billy Foster, the sophomore kid who ended up going for 206 or 203. He had gone for 312 the week before.
Mm-hmm.
So that kid is a sophomore, and in 2 weeks of the playoffs, he's over 500 yards. That's pretty stout. But the two long touchdown runs that he had, David, were what to me looked like just routine counters off left tackle. You know, it's you'd have the misdirection look, but it's just a playoff tackle.
Yeah.
But the thing is, on one of the plays, the safety came up and maybe took the wrong angle or left a gap, and that running back, even though he's 6'3" and 190. Is still fast. I mean, he's really a good athlete. If he makes his grades, he'll be a prospect. Got through that, there was nobody over there.
And that's a compliment to Angleton because I think College Station safeties were outstanding. I really thought Grant Steppen back there along with Raj Preciado were just tremendous safeties. And so, there's so many factors that come into it. And it was just kind of like watching the Bryan game. I mean, Darius Anderson, you know, he'd stop and go the other way, and you'd think, how in the world did he make that move? You know, you run into some awfully good running backs.
It was a really good combination, and I think the surprising thing was that Angleton's defense was so effective. And then the other thing is, of course, Saturday night, while you were down in Houston at U of H, I was over in Houston at NRG Stadium. It was nice and climate controlled, nice and toasty in the home of the Texans. Matter of fact, I was the last one out of the press box. I could have probably stole Bob McNair's old stadium.
Yeah,
nobody would have known except the guys that were repainting the numbers
on the
field.
I'm sure J.J. Watt was already in the weight room.
You know, last time I was there, this is a true story. The Texans were going out of town for a game, and I walked into the stadium as J.J. Watt's walking out. I just thought of that as a changing of the guard.
Yeah, you and J.J. Watt are very similar in a lot of ways.
Yeah, we are.
So
let me jump up on this table. All right, go ahead.
So Consolidated lost to Ridge Point in I guess the game that came the closest to having one of our teams have a chance at the end. They actually scored with less than 2 minutes left to get within 8 points and then got the ball back. So they were within about 40 yards of having a chance to go for a touchdown and 2-point conversion to tie it. They lost 35-27. But it's interesting that you talked about the plays with the onside kick and the muffed punt in the Bryan game. The kicking game was a huge, huge part of the Consolidated game, and it went Consol's way a couple of times. Tyon Merchant had a huge game. I know just right off the top of my head, I know he had two or three tackles behind the line of scrimmage. They try to throw a quick screen to a wide receiver, and he just run past the receiver who's supposed to tackle him and tackle a guy with the ball. He also blocked a couple of punts and had all kinds of plays. Well, he blocked a punt and they ran it in for a touchdown. And when they did that, that made it 21-21 in the third quarter. Late in the third quarter, they had blocked the punt, got the touchdown, then forced Ridge Point to punt again. And the punter bobbled the ball, and it worked out pretty well bobbling the ball because Tyon Merchant got his hand on it again, yeah. Two punts in a row. It went straight up, and when it came down, a Consol guy tried to catch it. It went off him. I didn't see it go off another guy, but Coach Rathfield said it also went off a Ridge Point guy. But the punter, who was at that point arrived at the football in a bad mood, having had a couple of them blocked, was on the run. He caught it on the run and got a 25-yard gain. And, you know, the radio guys are going like, you can't run a, you know, and I don't know what the rule is on that. I mean, I know you can because it was done, and Coach Rathfield and nobody complained about it. But the whole thing switched. I mean, I'm not saying Consolidated wins if that doesn't happen, but Consolidated would have had the ball in Ridge Point territory, right, with the momentum. Yeah. And instead, what – you know, they get a 25-yard gain, Ridge Point goes and scores, then they stop Consol and they score again, and all of a sudden it's a 14-point game, so it's a whole different game. But, like I said, Consol also got the benefit of blocking the punt and running it in. I thought Ridge Point was, and you guys talked about Temple and George Ranch, I thought Ridge Point was a physically more gifted, faster, bigger football team than A&M Consolidated. When I talked to David Raphael after the game, he said he thought they were evenly matched teams. He said he thought if they played 10 times, it would probably be 6-4. Well, if a coach says that, you know, he means that the other team would get them 6 times out of yeah. 4. I'm not so sure that was the case, but I thought Ridge Point was talented. I can't figure out what to make out of Angleton for the way they beat College Station, which was such a surprise. Now, Ridge Point and Angleton will play in the state quarterfinal round, having knocked out the two teams that we were covering. Right. And there went Aubrey's chance of Cattageddon.
Yeah.
Although Ridge Point is the Panthers and Angleton is the Wildcats.
There you go.
So
sort of.
It's a non-local.
And I really don't know what will happen in that game. Other thing, Aubrey, I don't know how much time we have left, but the big surprise of the weekend, and you mentioned how many people got knocked out, but I didn't see Navasota's loss coming, David said that was
to win it at the end.
A really good team that they played. So it's not shocking.
Well, and hard to overcome four turnovers.
Well,
how good you are.
Correct. And it's also the last team that had beaten them. They had not lost in 2 years until they lost to Carthage 2 years ago. It was the last time that they lost. I'm going to mention real quickly, and I know we don't have much time, but Cameron got the win over an undefeated Grandview team, 42-28. They're now going to face Teague, the team that probably gave them as much trouble as anybody in the playoffs last year, Friday at 7:30 at Waco ISD Stadium. Franklin got a really big one, getting by Newton 28-20, which was a huge win. That's sort of been their nemesis, kind of like Tenaha has been in the past for Bremon. But they're now going to take on the Crockett Bulldogs, and they're going to play at Madisonville Friday night at 7:30. So don't have to go all that far for that one. Bremon's got a little bit longer trip to get to that. And, Larry, I know you're looking forward to that because you're probably going to be making that trip.
Yeah, Bremon's playing Bruni at Converse Judson, so you get to drive to Madisonville, and I get to drive to the far side of the world.
But Bremon,
San Antonio on the far side of the world?
Pretty close from
it is for an East Texas guy like me, not for you Kerrville guys.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Anyway, Bremon won over Fall City, who had been undefeated 41-14, so that was a really big win, and another big performance from Rashad Paul. There are actually a couple of games at Kyle Field this week. I don't know if you guys heard about that. But,
no, who's playing at Kyle Field?
Let me look it up to be sure I got it right. Mathis and Hitchcock are playing 7:30 Friday. And let's see.
Of course, one of the highly anticipated games of the year.
Right, and this could be a pretty good one. Rockwall and Lake Travis are playing at 2 o'clock
Hey,
Saturday.
There we go. That's a big game. Maybe we'll go check that one out.
Am I wrong that Hitchcock was a team that eliminated my Rice Consolidated Raiders?
You're right. I think
that's
right.
They did play a week longer than both of y'all's teams.
Oh,
that's right.
Larry. Hater.
And to get Primo his due, El Campo lasted until the final play in a 2-point conversion to get knocked out. So
tough weekend for the everybody around here.
Yeah, that's right. We're all without the home teams, but celebrate what's been accomplished, because there's been really good seasons around here.
All right, that's today's high school report brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozier, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozier proudly supporting the youth of our community. We'll go to break, come back, and wrap up with the news. It's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.